Dear listener, what follows is a story that blends the histories of the mystical Oregon coastline and some virtually true legend of shark magic with a dash of an absurd moon cult. While this story is not based on the truth events, everything you are about to hear is mostly accurate. We cultivated years of first-hand eyewitness statements and countless lunchtime meetings. While Dewey Dorsal Finn may be denying everything, we have plenty of fabricated evidence to back up every sentence and thoughtfully placed sound effect. I believe that this telling is so on the money that it can almost consider to be a recording of the actual events that practically took place. Alas, this story spans thousands of generations, countless people, and hundreds of miles. Our largest hurdle was where to begin. So, we landed in the simplest place, the Portland Aquarium, where at this point in the story, Dewey Dorsal Finn worked and led the bi-weekly shark tours. A point of great personal pride for him, even though most people thought of the aquarium as a dirty poop bot, unfit for sea scum, let alone actual living fish. Now let's go there now. Close your eyes and imagine the mostly concrete room with dangerously slick floors. On the wall is a medium-sized hammerhead shark swimming in circles, trying to take his mind off being stuck in a prison like aquarium as a group of disorderly kids and parents file in. They are led by a man with disheveled brown hair, a 5 o'clock shadow, bland gray claw clothing, and unnecessarily wearing a safety vest.
And on our last stop, our shark tour is the hammerhead shark. Fun fact, did you know that some tribes believed that sharks could actually change into men and walk the land with special powers?
A small kid with a baseball hat with a shark logo on it pushes his way to the front of the group and raises the book into the air.
That's just like Nora Ventura's book, Cracking the Shark Code.
Did you see Nora Ventura?
Yeah, in her new book, she says there's an ancient brotherhood of shark worshippers that follow the teachings of the Sharkonomicon, and also there's supposed to be some secret underwater shark city where they all hang out.
Wow, crazy story. Hey, you know, I went to high school with Nora Ventura. I'll have to check this book out.
Dewey pretends to smile as he turns to admire the shark.
So this shark doesn't actually eat people. It eats bony fishes, crabs.
Man, he must really love sharks. Do you ever go to the tank and swim with them?
Dewey turns to the kid with a wild look in his eye. The color has left his cheeks and given him a ghostly look.
No, I can never touch the water.
The shark tank water or any water?
Any water.
Dewey, I need you in my office.
I'm almost done with the tour.
Now.
Moments later, we are told the manager of the aquarium has an unusual amount of man-sized safes and stacks of paper and garbage that reach the ceiling. Thin paths where the only usable space for a human path led, I don't know this, I can't say this.
Thin paths were the only usable space for it.
The led behind the desk where the manager was standing, and other led to the chair in front of the desk where Dewey was now standing.
Bad news, Dewey. Budget's been turned to chum. Gonna have to cut the shark tour.
Aw, man, the budget?
Yeah, the budget. It's too bad, because you were the best. You need to pack your things and get out today. I'm not even sure how we're gonna pay your last paycheck.
No problemo, boss. I get it. I'm sure you'll pay me when you can. I guess this will give me more time to spend on my writing.
I wouldn't spend so much time on that, Dewey.
Hey, did you get a chance to read that short story?
No, Dewey. I won't have time to read any of your, writing projects.
Okay, yeah, I get it.
Let's travel to the courtyard, which doubled as a parking lot, a motel-style set of rundown apartments. The sun is setting on the very hot Wednesday. An older woman was leaning on her car door and chatting to an attractive young woman with long dreads, a flower-patterned dress, and knee-high black rain boots. The young woman is holding her back and pretending she was just struck by a car that sits between them.
I don't want to cause any trouble with your insurance. I'm sure $400 would cover it. Just write me a check, huh? Alright, if you think that would be easier.
As the old woman filled out the check, Dewey pulled into the parking space behind them and stepped out of his car.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Here you go, sweet young lady. Oh, this nice woman hit me with her car, but it was an accident, and I think we just worked it out. I really must be leaving. Bye!
Oh no, Marcy, are you okay?
Yeah, that was just the easiest $400 ever. Dewey, why are you holding a box of trash?
Oh, these are my things from work. I got let go today.
You kept these weird puppets and shark toys at work?
Well, yeah, I love sharks and these puppets help me, I think.
Well, you'll find another job. You always seem to, at least. Oh, I have a little surprise for you in the apartment.
The sound of a creaky door opens. Marcy and Dewey stroll through.
Don't freak out, okay?
Just then, a man shuffles in from the kitchen wearing colorful face tattoos, a white tank top, drop crotch pants, pink slippers, and a backwards baseball hat.
Sup, Doug?
Who are you?
Surprise! This is Brian. He's gonna stay with us till he gets back on his feet.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be weird, though. We both men, right?
Weird? Why would it be weird?
Because I'd be married to your old lady, dog.
What?
Do we? Remember how you said you weren't going to be freaking out on me? Okay, well, see, we were gonna get divorced when I got the money together, but then Brian got sent to prison, and it just didn't seem important.
Prison? What for?
Shh. Judge said I stole money from some old people, then burned down their house like he know.
Where's Brian gonna sleep? It's a one-bedroom.
In our bed. Where else would he sleep, huh?
Yeah, so you gonna make me dinner or what? You know how an old lady get when she hungry.
I'm not feeling up to making dinner tonight.
Brian, be nice to Dewey. He just got fired from his job.
Dog, I get it. You must be feeling like a real loser right now.
Yeah, I bet he is. Dewey, but for real, go make dinner. I'm hungry and my show is about to start.
Okay.
Brian, guess what?
What?
I just got some old lady to write me a check for $400.
Nice. You do that get and run over trick I taught you.
I sure did.
Now, we travel to the Oregon coast. The sun is properly over the horizon and darkness is just setting for the night. An older man with a gray beard and a distinguishing scar on his face runs panic-stricken through the dense and muddy wood. Clutched in his left hand, white-knuckled fist, is a very old leather book. On the cover of his book is a metal circular insignia of a shark eating another shark. Our man attempts to stray from the trail and loses his balance. He slides face down a muddy embankment and finds himself surrounded by boots. In the shadows, a mysterious figure.
Don't mind me.
You won't be able to read anything. The Sharkonomicon is an ancient, uncrackable shark code.
Oh, I think I'm good. I've got a real smart female archaeologist to help me with that.
Why do you have to say female? Can you just say archaeologist?
Bite your tongue, Sharkling. The Shondarak will be mine shortly. Jasper?
Yes, Lord and Master.
Take this book to our female and have it decoded at once. I want to track down any and all living sharklings starting tomorrow morning.
Oh, what a delightful idea, Lord. Ha! Good luck.
I've got a joke for you. What did the Moonstone say to the sharkling just before he sucked his soul?
I don't know, some pun on the word soul, like, I'm soul sorry, or soul you later, or Jamaican me soul.
No! All your ideas are terrible!
Barnacles, what is that thing?
This is a moonstone. What's that moonstone? Oh, yes, good one. The stone says, so long, sharkling.
Sounds of blasting energy. No! The following morning, back in Portland, Oregon, Dewey is sitting unemployed in an ill-fitting bath robe on a couch with no cushion, eating a bowl of cereal. A cell phone rings.
Ring, ring.
Brian answers it.
Hello? Nah, man, you think I sound like a total loser? Nah, hold on, I'll get him. Hey, Dewey.
Huh, what is it?
Someone's calling you on your phone.
Why do you have my phone?
Yeah, I had to make some calls last night. Here you go.
Hello?
Is this Dewey? Dewey Dorsalvine?
Yeah.
Dewey with a D?
Yeah.
Dorsalvine with an F-I-N-E?
Yeah, that's me. Who is this?
It's him, boys! It's really him! Well, Mr. Dorsalvine, I'm calling to let you know that you're my winner.
Wow, really? What did I win?
What do you think you won?
The Nautical Writers Award?
Oh, how right you are. We just loved your, what you wrote.
Wow, really? Oh, this is so cool. I've never won anything before. In fact, I could really use some validation right now. I lost my job yesterday, and my girlfriend...
Great life details, Mr. Dorsalvine. Let me ask you, how does 10,000 of your local currency sound to you?
Wow, are you saying I just won $10,000? That is amazing.
Great, great. All you have to do is report to my state-of-the-art writing hideout, located at 132 Seashore Drive.
Okay, hold on, let me write this down. Okay, 132 Seashore Drive. What city?
A small town on the Oregon coastline, Grimace, Oregon.
Grimace? That's my hometown.
Really?
I can never go back there. Not since the incident. Those people hate me.
Well, you must be here by Monday, or the offer expires.
Oh, man, I'll have to think about it.
Also, you will be cursed and more bad things will happen to you. Get here by Monday! Lopan hangs up.
10 G's, dog! Sound like we go to the flippin' coast, yo!
Oh, I can never go back there.
Pack your bag, dog. We get in, out, like we've been stealing jewels.
Oh, I don't know.